My name is Mesfin Bashir. This is a 508 show.
It's September 7th. I'm September 7th, 2013. This is Michael Benedetti. This is the 508 show, a show about Worcester. Also on the show today is Brendan Milliken. Hi, Brendan.
No date included. How are you?
Good. We're back here again at the Winslow Street Park talking to city council candidates. Today we're talking to Mesfin Bashir, who is running at large. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to ask you a couple questions about your background. What line of work are you in?
Well, I'm the founder and president of the Ethiopian Dream Center. It is an international non-profit organization. And also I lead a coalition of African non-profit organization. It's called the Central Mass Mutual Assistance Partnership. And the other thing is I'm an African outreach rep at the Friendly House.
And how did you get into this line of work?
Well, I'm very passionate about helping people. My background is since I was helped by other people growing up. So I developed a passion to assist people, the less fortunate, among our community. That's why.
And you grew up in Ethiopia.
Yes.
And you're from a city I've actually been to in Ethiopia, Shoshamene.
Yes.
When did you come to the United States?
Well, I came to the United States February 25th, 1991.
Okay. What brought you to the U.S.?
Well, I was a political refugee from Ethiopia. I'm involved in youth activism. That time it was a socialist government in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. So I ran away from there and I stayed in Kenya for 2 years. And I was sponsored through Lutherans. I came here February 25th, 1991.
Very good. And usually we ask people, like, what are you involved with in the community? It sounds like your full-time thing is being involved in all sorts of community things.
Yes, yes.
I wonder, what is it that makes you want to shift some of your time from other projects to being a city councilor as a way to serve the community?
Well, the reason why is, I have seen a lot of people in Worcester and the youth and new immigrants and the homeless. And also, I had a hard time adjusting myself in this country the first time I came in because I have everything. You know, I have a good mom who supported me, everything she gave me, but there is something she couldn't probably realize I needed. What it is I need to look up to some people who can inspire me, who can understand me culturally and linguistically. Mm-hmm. So those kind of things gave me a little bit hard time when I was here. So I'm trying to help others who came to this country or the less fortunate even among our community not to go through the same road I traveled. That's one of the things. It inspires me to do. Helping in a community also involves the participation of a government, a local government. And I don't see that which is not inclusive in the city. Hmm. So I try to make a change in the politics, how Worcester should look like to make Worcester a better place for all people.
Ah, very good. So I want to ask you a little bit about economic development in Worcester.
Sure.
And everybody's in favor of economic development.
Yes.
And so we've been asking people about a specific situation so that you can sort of have a larger conversation about economic development.
Right.
In this case, it's about the Midtown Mall, the little mall downtown, which for years now some people on the city council have been saying the city should take it, the city should shut it down. What do you think about that in particular and economic development in general?
Well, I am a true believer that a true democracy happens when wealth is created.
Yeah.
So in order to create wealth, we need more jobs.
Yes.
But making buildings look nice doesn't mean nothing for the poor and for the less fortunate. Mm. That mall, my understanding is there are a lot of minority-owned businesses. It's also ancient or older place or older buildings,
yeah.
Historical building probably. So it's good to the government should assist in economic development, but economic development through private sectors is what creates jobs. That's what I believe. So to create small businesses and the people who are there, if they have something to offer them better than what they have, probably I would look through it in the future. But how to make it, I have to wait until I'm elected to make a decision.
Brendan, do you have any questions?
I do. Yeah, I mean, it might sound somewhat duplicitous, similar to the second question Mike asked, but the number of organizations that you work with are all sound wonderful. What's driving you to want to go to work with such a despicable group of people like politicians when you're doing such wonderful work on your own now?
Well, you said it right. You know, I agree with you. This looks like a dynasty. You know, people are just in politics 20 years, 30 years, and all that. So it's like it's better to have a king. You know, So we need to have people participate. You know, local yeah. people to participate in the decision of local politics. But what happens is those people who already staying there for 10 years, 20 years, they forget about where they came from. Mm. You know, they forget about the poor, the working poor. So I want to replace, if I can, if I have the power to do it, I will replace all of them, you know.
Ah.
So what it is it's not about me. It's about the people. It's about children. It's about families, about the working poor. So why I run for office is we all have a stake in our community. We all have something to offer for our community. You are making decisions not based on the interest of the whole people. Mm. But let's be involved. Let's have a new blood, you know, new people who have different ideas. You know, the other thing is, you know, these politicians, when they see somebody who has a different idea than they have, that means they run out of ideas, so they use other strategies to discredit others, to make people run away from those people who have different ideas than them. So what it is if I can replace them, even one of them, that is a great idea. You know, probably others will be inspired to run for office, so we can replace them one by one, you know.
Amen.
It might take time, but we can do it, you know?
I love that. If you have any other questions, Brendan,
It's funny, though, when you mentioned that, you know, it's as a lifer here in Worcester, it's funny how I think some of us just take for granted the folks that are, you know, whether it be administrative positions or elected officials and whatnot that represent the city, you just take for granted that they're always there.
Right.
I think it's interesting the way you phrase that, you know, that how long people have been there, and it starts to look like a dynasty, but
right.
from the perspective of somebody who came here in the early 90s, and many of the personalities that we have running the city are the same people who were running the city when
Correct.
You came here. And
yes.
I think most people, if they were pressed, would probably agree that the city's changed enough in that same time frame
right.
where having the same leadership doesn't actually match up with the personnel, so to
Correct.
Speak, that are now living in the city.
Right. But, yeah, Worcester has, the new immigrants are coming to this city. There is a saying, demographic change brings democratic change.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is these politicians, you know, they are blinded that this city is growing up. Many people are coming to this city. Look, you know, when I came here in 1991, I'll tell you a simple thing. I used to hang around in Valley. You know, I'm just going to tell you as mm-hmm. it is, you know. So there was black community, you know, African Americans, and then white community was there. But now if you see over there, it's a lot of Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there is a demographic change. So look, we have Soraya Rivera, you
mm-hmm.
know, a Latino elected official. And are we going to have somebody different from other group of people? Of course, it might take time. Change is imminent. You know, there is nothing stands still.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to think is we don't have to worry later on by the decision we make today. We are each other keepers.
Mm-hmm.
So how we can make things better right now, let me tell you, I will quote King Haile Selassie. He said, today is my people. Tomorrow is going to be yours. I will explain it to you. It is the 1930 war when fascists and Nazis were invading. So Ethiopia was, you know, used as a sacrificial lamb by League of Nations. So he was asking help me to fight these invaders. They say no, even they say a lot of things to him at the League of Nations. So his words was, today my people are dying, tomorrow is going to be yours. What he meant is trying to let them know, we need to stop bad things today. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to you, you will understand it, but I can see beyond the horizon. That's why he's a great statesman of the world. George Bush spoke about him. Bill Clinton spoke about him. A lot of leaders in the world speak about him. That's why Nazis, when they start killing a lot of Europeans, the United States got into the war. You understand what I'm saying? They understood. That's why the British government assisted after that to drive out the Italians out of Ethiopia. So let me in Worcester here, when demographic change going increasing, probably we can replace all those people. If you see now, all white, right? How about if it is all black? They're gonna do the same thing what is being done now. But we don't want that to happen. So how can we be inclusive government who can care for all people without regard to race, without regard to religion, or where they came from, or where they have PhD, or nothing? But if they can contribute to Worcester, we can make Worcester a welcoming city. I visited Holland. You know, when I went Holland, I went Germany, I went England. I love Holland. You know, as soon as you reach at the airport, they tell you, welcome to Netherlands. I just loved it. But when I went to Germany, they say, where you go? Da, 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 da. Because I'm black man. But as soon as I take my American passport, they say, sir. You know, so we need to be inclusive. You know, we stand together. We are a community of one. What happens to me someday will happen to you. So we have to stand for one another, do what is right, what is just. That's what I want to be. I want Worcester to be a welcoming city. When you know, that's what I do in my organization. When people come, whatever, I say welcome. Welcome to Worcester. That's what I tell them. So I want even our city government to be like that. You know what? Sometimes I work over here many years. So I don't want to name politicians, and they know themselves. They don't want to even shake my hand before because I'm not dressed up like them. But once they start to know me and I'm dressed up very nice, they take their business card. Here we go. You can call me anytime. That's not what we want. On the street, people we see, we don't know who they are. What they are, where they came from, what their talents is, what their education background is, with whom they associate with. We don't know. So we have to treat all people equal. And I spoke to him a little while ago. You know, I was raised by whites since I was 5 years old. I know how they think. I know the great things they have done for me, changed my life. Still they do. Do I have something against whites? No. But just because I tell the truth, the facts, they tell other black people, this guy is bad. You know, he talks things that don't hang around with him. You see, they run. Well, you see, in the old days, politicians, when they run out of ideas, they use character assassination, they use bullets, they use intimidation, they use a lot of things. My office has been shot, 2 bullets. You know, my office is broken now. You know, somebody, if it happens to somebody who's in power, hey, tomorrow the newspaper will put it in, this happened. So we need to see people as human beings. It doesn't matter where they came from, what religion, what color, whatever. So I'm running, it's not about me. I'm happy. I'm married, a good wife I have beautiful children, smart kid, you know. I'm happy, you know. But there are people who are not. I cannot stand by look at them. So I've been working as a non-profit organization free, 6 years, free. Nobody paid me zero. I spend my own money, right? But we have a lot of non-profits in this city, corrupt with the politicians. If you talk about it, they shut you off. They just want you to disappear. And that's why I want to make a difference in this city. That's why I want to represent all people. You know, that's why I'm running.
Do you have another question?
That was excellent.
I want to ask you. This is another question where we sort of. We want to talk about an issue in general, but we bring up a specific instance. Sure. And in this case, it's the question of government regulation. I think everybody agrees there should be some sort of government. And everyone agrees that there are points at which government goes too far in regulating things.
Right.
In Worcester, one very particular small incident has been the question of can you raise chickens in your yard? Which right now the answer is no, you can't. But I think Colin Novick put it best when he described the policy as don't ask, don't tell. That there's a lot of people raising chickens in their yard in Worcester illegally, and the city turns a blind eye to this in general. Do you like the idea of allowing people to have small
chickens
and other livestock?
My mom in Ethiopia, she does it. You know, why not here? Anyway, you know, I don't know the reason why. You know, I don't know the reason why. But people, if they choose to raise a chicken in their backyard, who cares? We have other problems to solve. So, but this is what it is. Is there any other things associated with that chicken? Many things. Probably like raccoons, they have rabies, whatever. Right. Whatever. If it is health issues, let them give us the reason why, what is the cause and the effect, then we can decide. But for me, you know, probably that is the enjoyment people they do. They want to see the chicken. I have a friend which I visited in Merrimack, even one of my college friend who was my best man. Uh-huh. He just got married, you know, he has a big farm in Merrimack, and I went to his house, you know, by invitation. And I see a chicken in his backyard. And then they enjoy it, the husband and wife, you know. It's not they want to eat it, but just they want to look at it. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you know, if people choose to do that, as long as they keep them in their backyard, not like torturing them, you know, put them in a cage or something like that, hey, that's their problem. You know, I have other things to care about rather than the chicken, you know?
Well, so here's the other layer of this, which is that the city, if Brandon can correct me if I'm wrong, because I feel like for some reason I'm only vaguely understand this issue. The city council eventually said, okay, fine, we'll let people have chickens. But then the problem was that the city said, we need to hire someone to take care of the inspection of those chickens because of the possibility of there being problems. Somebody having chickens and there being a raccoon problem, they're not putting the chickens in the cage right. And that was the point at which the city council or the city was like, I don't understand why they couldn't just make there be like some sort of extremely expensive permit that could pay that person, but they didn't do it that way. So they said, we actually can't afford to hire a person to be the city's, another animal control person for the city. And so that was why they ended up doing that. And so some people, like I said, I think some people would say, well, the city should, I don't know, like things should be legal in general. If it costs the city more money, it costs the city more money. But that was a place where the city council stopped and said, we're not. Is that, am I
prepared to say? For the most part, I think that's what it was. And I think the argument that a lot of folks were trying to make was that our take on, it's just a bit of a stretch, but that our take on a lot of issues like chickens in Worcester should probably be more similar to, say, like Vermont's laws regarding firearms, right? Like Vermont has one law about firearms that, like, you can own, it's not a crime until you commit a crime with one, right? Like,
okay,
you can kind of do whatever you want with your gun until you break a law, and then we'll treat it that way, right? Like, they don't really have, like, lots of restrictions about firearms. The restrictions are, like, don't kill people, you know, like, it pretty straightforward stuff, and so, I think that's...
So if you have some sort of uncaged chickens in your yard, that would fall under disorderly conduct, so like, rather than the city having any specific,
like, we already
law.
Have laws about cockfighting, right? So we don't need to worry about that. Like,
okay.
We already have laws about nuisance animals, so we don't have to worry about that. We already have public health laws that would, you know, require containment for disease and whatnot. Yeah. And you could probably even make a stretch that a nuisance animal could be considered something that's drawing packs of wolves or whatever, you know, counselors were worried we're going to invade Worcester because
Foxes,
of chicken,
coyotes.
Chickens. So I think that the argument was that most of their concerns were already covered by existing laws.
Right.
So we don't need to create more ordinances, more laws, just to make folks who have never been within, you know, 100 yards of a live chicken comfortable.
So do you think it's, so are you telling me you think it's legal to have chickens in Worcester?
It's been so long since I've given this any thought. The way that I always read the ordinances, I couldn't see what the problem was. If you go back and read the city's charter, we define... We only speak to livestock, if I'm not mistaken, in the city's charter. And livestock is one of those, like, colloquial terms where in New England it refers to hooved animals. So, like, pigs, cows, horses, right. our livestock right. In New England historically. So I think there's an argument to be made that, you know, our ordinances as they exist now don't even speak to chickens.
So it might be, so you're saying it could be ambiguous whether or not you're allowed to own chickens.
Right.
Okay, so people were
The fact that people own them all over the city anyways kind of makes it more ambiguous, right? I mean, it kind of gets hard for a city to enforce any ordinance when they're already allowing people to do the thing that they claim isn't yet legal. But that's kind of the whole point, right? Like, just because there isn't a law saying something is legal doesn't automatically mean something is illegal. And I think that's something that we've gotten ourselves into a bad habit across the country, not just in Worcester, that we wait for a politician to tell us that it's okay to do something when the exact opposite is technically true, right? Like, something is okay to do until someone tells you can't do it. We don't wait for politicians to give you permission to do something. You wait for somebody to enact an ordinance or a law that would stop you from doing something.
This is amazing. I feel like I'm learning. I don't know why we're asking you questions that we're still trying to understand ourselves. Yeah, but that's the way this show is.
Right, sometimes. Right, thank you for helping with that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, chicken. We talk about chicken. You know, young people are dying. You know, with guns. You
right.
know, if you come on Milbury Street, you know, Vernon Hill, you know. Previously from probably on the other side, but we have a lot of problems rather than worrying about chicken. We got
right.
lots of problems, you know. Mm-hmm. We need jobs, you know. The youth have nothing to do, and we are not educating them the best way to be leaders of our community. Mm-hmm. You know, drugs, you know, it's a lot of issues we have. We worry about chicken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that for me, I don't have time to talk about chicken. Let's talk about certain things. You know, that's what I like to talk.
Yeah,
chickens for me don't matter.
It's probably
you know?
The right approach to things too. And I mean, I think a lot of the problem with that whole conversation was the way folks that were interested in, say, like urban farming ideas were
right.
discredited. But that speaks to something that you just mentioned, that all the other problems we have,
right.
one of those problems is hunger. And the idea
right.
that you would have politicians that would say people raising their own food, whether it be eggs or, you know, vegetables and whatnot on their own property, that there's a problem with that because we're not used to the idea of agriculture in an urban area. It's kind of skipping right over one of the bigger problems, that we actually have massive hunger issues in this area.
Right.
And giving
right.
a family the opportunity to actually raise some of their own food and
yeah.
offset the costs of food is...
And the other thing you have to know is this, you know, they have a lot of grants they give out for rec, for this, community gardening and
mm-hmm.
all that. You know, all the money they're wasting,
mm-hmm.
probably they should use it to teach the people how to raise their chicken. Spend that money. They are wasting it in, you know, I don't know if you guys know, this city was in trouble last year about the hard funding and this and that
yes.
and that.
Still. Yes.
Yeah, there are millions. Guess what? Probably... the money they are using for this, regional environmental council, whatever they're getting the money, let them use that money to teach people how to raise those chickens,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they tell them, oh, you can farm. Hey, not only chicken, if, you know, tomatoes, whatever they are farming, might have a lot of things too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not inspected, they just cook it and sell it in the farmer's market.
Right.
How about that?
They are delicious.
Yeah, well, I know they are delicious. I'm not saying it is bad.
Yeah.
You know, one of the lady who's my partner in our office, you know, she's from Kenya. You know, it's called Women African Affairs. And she has a farm in Lancaster. All African women, like immigrants,
mm-hmm.
they have a farm in Lancaster. And every week they go over there. And somehow they have a land, you know, through grants, whatever it is. So 80 of them, they go over there, they farm. They put tomatoes, blah, 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 whatever it is. They bring it and give us some of it in a bag, too. We eat that. Nobody inspected that.
Mm-hmm.
Why they inspect the chicken? Or what?
Yeah.
So if they want to do that, let them spend the money, all the grant, to teach this, you know, community gardening, community farmers, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, let them pay for inspection. How about that?
And then we can go back to worrying about bigger issues.
That's it. That's it.
So I think we only have a few minutes left.
Sure.
So I want to get down to the important questions.
Sure.
First of all, what's the most push-ups you've ever done?
Five.
Five push-ups. All right. Very good. The second question is, it's a question about what do you carry with you on an everyday basis? What sorts of things are in your pockets on an everyday basis?
My wallet.
Okay.
Yeah, my ID, you know, in case I'm stopped, you know, and I'm just kidding. Anyway, just my wallet.
Okay. You don't carry pocket knife or anything like that?
No.
Oh.
I no pocket knife, and I don't like guns. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing probably I will try to get the permit is when some politicians try to intimidate me. You know, probably.
I want to ask you a question. Actually, I'll ask you this question, which is a question that one of the viewers suggested. Do the children in your life plan to live in Worcester when they grow up?
Yes, this is, I believe, even though I was born in Ethiopia, mm-hmm. Shashamane, as I said,
yes.
Worcester for me is like Shashamane. You know, I traveled last year, mm-hmm. you know, for a work trip or work for business, mm-hmm. and I was in my hometown. I just was scared to death. You know, I was grew up there, but here I can go night and day, regardless of whatever is going on over here. I feel this is my home, this is where I belong to, and this is where I have my children, my family, my wife, and this is my home. So yeah. Worcester is my home, this is where I belong to.
And what do the kids think about Worcester?
They love it, they mm-hmm. love it. And the school which they're going Union Hill School. There is a lot of bad stuff going on in that neighborhood, but the teachers, the principals, I just love them, and they're doing a great job. So they love their schools too, so. Hmm.
Can I throw in a quick one? Yeah, unrelated to politics at all, but just based on your background, could you give our viewers just a really quick overview on some of the bigger, immigrant demographics are in the city? I often get a feeling that people that have lived here forever, we always know that it's a city of immigrants, and there's right. always new people coming in.
Right.
But oftentimes it's hard to actually figure out where people are coming from.
Right.
Are there any countries in particular that you're seeing a big influx of immigrants
yes.
from currently?
In Worcester, there are a lot of Ghana people, mm-hmm. and then we have Liberians, mm-hmm. We have Somalians, and we have Burundi, and we have Ugandese. And we have Ethiopians too, but Ethiopians in Worcester are very few. Mm-hmm. But in Worcester County, we have almost 300 Ethiopians. When we say Ethiopians, it's including the Eritreans, because Ethiopia and Eritrea used to be one. Mm-hmm. But still, we work together mm-hmm. Over here. We just let them fight over there, whatever. But we are here. We have a common destiny, a common vision, so we are together. So in Worcester County, almost 300 Ethiopians. So, the new immigrants are coming are from Somalia mm-hmm. and Burundi, those are the refugees which are coming.
Majority of those people coming under refugee status, or are they coming through family connections, or?
Yes, refugee status. Okay. You know, most of them are refugees. And some of them are students also. In Worcester, mostly now what the trend is, a lot of, for example, my sister-in-law is here now. She just mm-hmm. came from Canada. She used to live in Canada, and she came here in Worcester. So we're trying to attract many, I try to attract many Ethiopians. Worcester is a city for families. If mm-hmm. we work hard, it's a good educational center. For families, Worcester is good. As long as we take care of these crime issues, you know, and corruption issues in the government, mm-hmm. and as long as we have decent neighborhoods and job training and all that, Worcester, I like Worcester, you know, I love Worcester. But we have to change the politicians so to make it better. That's what I like to do.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for running for city
Thank
council.
Thank you for having
Good luck.
Me. Thank you, sir.
This is Brendan Melican and Mike Benedetti.
Here.
If you have any comments, pieandcoffee@gmail.com is the email address. We'll talk to you next week.